interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. It is a Thursday, March 28th. The tourney returns and Major League Baseball begins edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're back live at the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love fired up to be here, even though we're quite literally sawed in half today. The program is, we're out at 5:30. We send you to the dude in Starkville. LSU at number 2, Mississippi State. 5:30 is the pregame show. 6 o'clock, first pitch. We've got plenty of time to talk LSU baseball. I'm a little more interested in going deep on the NCAA tournament. Yet another Yahoo Sports report. I'm not going to inundate you with that, but I will educate you on exactly what's happening. And, of course, we'll talk Major League Baseball. I'm joined for the next 90 minutes by the famous Clint D. He's inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing, and he'll be a busy man today. He'll be hooking up a few guests for us. He'll be hooking you up with a couple of Astros updates. What I can tell all of you Stros fans, the motto for this year, bring it back. They want the ship back in H-Town, and it's starting off pretty well, halfway through the first of 162 regular season games. As I came on the show, last score I saw, Astros 4, Tampa Bay 1. Top of the fourth, you've got a Springer dinger and a Brantley bomb. Welcome in Michael Brantley from the Cleveland Indians and Justin Verlander on cruise control early right now at the Trop. He's pitched 3 innings. Gave up only one earned run. That's an Austin Meadows bomb for the Rays. Otherwise, JV doing JV things. And that game is on our sister station, KVOL The Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Chuck. Enough of the Stros. We'll touch that base again later. I want to start with March Madness, the reintroduction of the big dance tonight. You've got a total of 4 games, and you've got an opportunity to determine who advances in the West bracket in Anaheim, the South bracket in Louisville. Let's start out West. Gonzaga versus Florida State is going to be a very good basketball game tonight. I don't particularly understand the spread. Top-seeded Zags, 7.5-point favorites. That'll be the first of the 4 games to tip off tonight. 6:09 Central Time tip on CBS. Florida State, as Clint has told you for a week now, arguably the hottest team in the entire sport. That includes Gonzaga, obviously, which lost in the West Coast Conference tournament. That includes Duke, UNC, Virginia. That includes a lot of the teams, even like LSU, or you could say Auburn, that won the SEC. Florida State right now, I think they're poised to give a whale of a ball game to Mark Few and the Zags. So, if I were a betting man, I like Florida State to keep it snug within that 7.5 tonight. Can they win? We'll find out. But I do think the game on the other side of that bracket has the chance to be the most compelling of any of the 4 tonight. I am all in and I am all here for Michigan versus Texas Tech. The spread on that one, 1.5 for Big Blue. Now, the weird part is you got to go from Ann Arbor to Anaheim. So a cross-country trip or thereabouts. Not quite as far for Chris Beard and the Red Raiders, but this is a very, very tasty matchup. 8:39 Central Time tip. It'll be on CBS as well. I've told you before, I'll repeat it. I think that John Beilein is a top 3 March coach. I don't know if he's top 3 overall when it comes to recruiting, the system in place, the entire program, the regular season. When it comes to March, I'm not so sure that the guy in Ann Arbor isn't as prolific or better in the modern day than the guy that LSU is going to see tomorrow night who resides in East Lansing. I'm serious about that. Tom Izzo is a Hall of Famer. Beilein's got some room to grow. to move into that type of category. But he is absolutely outstanding of getting these Michigan Wolverines teams, which are good in the regular season, to be great in the postseason. So I've got Texas Tech as my pick to click. I've had them so far to move through this West region. Tonight, I think, is going to be their toughest test. Even if they survive and get either Gonzaga or Florida State, tonight's going to be the most difficult matchup for Texas Tech. So, yeah, I got my Final Four life on the line tonight with the Red Raiders, but Michigan awfully good. You go to the South bracket, first of the two games to tip off there, should be the better of the two. Number two, Tennessee. Number three, Purdue. Volunteers, kind of like Michigan earlier, 1.5-point favorites as a 2 seed over a 3 seed. This one will tip off 6:29 Central. It'll be on TBS. Ball game played in Louisville. So regionally, probably not a lot of advantage. It's obviously not far from Knoxville, but it really isn't that far removed from West Lafayette, Indiana as well. Shout out to West Lafayette from Lafayette, by the way. And so Tennessee is my pick to get to the Final Four. I've got to beat UNC in making the final game in Minneapolis. But a lot like Texas Tech, by picking the West bracket, I think this is their toughest test until they get to Minneapolis, if they get there. I think that Tennessee or Purdue beats Virginia in the Elite Eight. And that is the final game that will be played tonight. The latest one to tip off. Number one, Virginia, 8.5-point favorites over the only Cinderella left. Number 12, Oregon. I think UVA takes care of business. I think it's slow, methodical. I think Oregon keeps it close for a stretch of time, but ultimately I like the Cavaliers to pull away here. So we've got action tonight. The first four games of this Sweet 16 round. Obviously LSU, Michigan State, part of the fray tomorrow night. I'll save some of our bullets for that later in the program, and we'll have all show tomorrow to touch on that exact topic. But I'll wind down this opening segment with your news of the day. I'd be derelict not to report it to you. And again, like I said earlier, just make sure I'm providing the proper education here, because nobody's asking you to like what continues to happen with Yahoo Sports, Will Wade, LSU's program, Christian Dawkins. I don't expect you to like it. I just want to make sure that you get it, because the misconceptions are, I mean, if I'm being honest, to me, they're hilarious. So I just want to be that shining light when and if I can. Now, understand that LSU Michigan State should have your entire focus, but I know that this report does today. And that's the whole point. And so the news that leaks out, Pat Forty, the crew at Yahoo Sports, they identify the middleman that helped to allegedly steer Javonte Smart to LSU. Shannon Foreman, a mid-90s star at Southern Lab, a guy who played at Memphis when Cal was leaving and Johnny Jones took over for a spell. So there's a connection there, obviously. I've heard it through the grapevine even today that Johnny thought about trying to find a way to get Shannon Foreman on his staff at LSU, which wouldn't surprise me in particular. But it also shouldn't surprise you that a Baton Rouge kid had a Baton Rouge middleman. None of this should be surprising to you, but Yahoo Sports releases it, and it's supposed to be another damning brick in the wall against LSU and Wade, and I guess to a certain extent it is, but understand what it is that's happening here. Because I keep getting asked the same question. How is it legal, possible, permissible for the FBI to leak information to Yahoo Sports? It isn't, and they're not. Understand that Christian Dawkins' attorney is leaking every bit of this information. And hungry, thirsty, whatever adjective you want to use, journalists from Yahoo Sports are happy to lap it up. People on social media are in a frenzy, LSU fans. Oh, they're just searching for clickbait. Damn right they are. But anybody in their shoes would be. And here's the way that I'll break it down for you. It's not coincidental that the series of reports, Sean Miller, Will Wade, set to be subpoenaed by the FBI, that drops right after LSU beats Tennessee. It's not an accident. The Will Wade strong-ass offer tape drops right after LSU wins at Florida and virtually locks up the SEC regular season. That wasn't an accident. None of this is an accident. It's all very meticulously timed by Christian Dawkins' attorney, understand his whole objective with this federal corruption trial that begins April 22nd is to smear LSU and Will Wade, as well as Sean Miller in Arizona. That's the whole point. He wants them to look scummy in all of this. He wants it to appear that, hey, my client, Christian Dawkins, he just fielded the phone calls. These are really the predators. And so, yes, Dawkins' attorney is spoon-feeding the likes of Pat Forte. Absolutely he is. He wants Wade and LSU to look as bad as they can before April 22nd ever gets here. But here's where I think there's a little bit of a false equivalent. I guess you would say false equivalent. There we go. If you think they wouldn't do this, if the information were about Alabama and Nick Saban, you're out of your mind, they would. If you think they wouldn't do it, if this were Coach K and Duke, you're out of your mind, they would. And don't point to the bit of Zion stuff that's out there and say, well, why isn't that being used? I'm just telling you right now, if they had a chance to smear a big-name coach at a legacy program against the wall and it was being spoon-fed to them, they would do it. So what's happening today, it's all too predictable. LSU is succeeding. Christian Dawkins' attorney doesn't want it at all, and he's using it as his leverage point to try and make Wade and LSU look bad. And yet here we are on the brink of the Sweet 16. It's hard to keep your attention with what's happening between the lines. That's just where we are today with college basketball and a story that continues to evolve, even if it's not surprising, in South Louisiana. All right, busy program today. I'm done with that for now. You want to call in on it? You can. I just wanted to get to it, make sure I touched on some of the biggest national news on this Thursday. We got Hunt Palmer coming aboard about 16 or 17 minutes from right now. A little LSU hoops, even more LSU baseball. At 5 o'clock, Jeff Horchek, Paspa 2, middays on KLFY TV 10 will be our guest. Excited to have both of them aboard. The other part of the agenda you need to know, Rhythms on the River is back tonight. It's your perfect chance to come into the Taproom River Ranch. We got a nice crowd that's trickled in already, 3:45. You come get a drink, maybe take a roadie to go, watch Bag of Donuts tonight at Rhythms on the River, and then you come back in. The great news, just about the time that Rhythms wraps up, 8:15. You come to the Taproom. They've got Carl Sonnier laying down sound tonight, 8 to 11. There's no cover charge, just one great time. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
All right, time to get interactive. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back into the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Great crowd here. Again, even since the break, we continue to get more people. It's almost like they know Rhythms on the River is here. Come out and join us if you get a chance. And even if you can't, you can join us on the phone lines after this next question. We led off with NCAA tournament action, a preview of your four games tonight. The storyline, sort of. I don't know if it was that big of a revelation. There is a middleman. Now we know who it is with LSU hoops. It leaked today, and that was predictable. All right, we can put that aside for now, although one might tie into the other, kind of. CD, how about the music? Then I'll explain with the question. Exciting and your sink or swim question of the day. Who is your most hated coach in all of college basketball? Doesn't have to be leading one of the 16 teams that's left. My guess is there's a better than average chance that he is. But who is your least favorite? Who is your most hated? However you want to put it, call us, let us know, tell us why. Let the hate spew. 706-0111. CD, lead us off.
I got to say, Ben, I think we've mentioned it in the past, but I cannot stand Coach K. I don't know exactly why. Do I respect what he's done with the sport and be able to be dominant? in the world of college basketball, I have to respect it. But the guy, I just, something about him just doesn't seem right about him. I guess it's a lot like Bill Belichick, where he's wound up having a whole lot of success, but you just look at the guy and nothing's right about him. I just don't like him at all. He's a pain in my backside. I think that's a big reason why I had UNC win the national title over Duke when it's all said and done. But like I said, Coach K, can't stand him.
Clint's out there spite picking his way through his bracket. At least now we know the methodology. YP, you people out there in listener land, call me. Tell me about your hate. 706-0111. I will tell you that there are guys out there that are pretty universally unliked by their peers. And my time in and around college basketball has told me as much. Rick Stansberry is one of them. And again, a lot of these guys have rubbed people the wrong way because of their recruiting technique, their methods. Frankly, Will Wade is one of those guys. And I've told you that on this program. It is not a secret that Wade is not terribly well-liked amongst his peers. But guys like Wade, Stansberry, Bruce Pearl. I mean, you can go around the NCAA and find guys that kind of fit that quota. I'll tell you this. I didn't like Bruce Pearl until I met Bruce. And I had the chance to interview him one-on-one for quite some time. This was in between stops, Tennessee and Auburn. He was working for the SEC Network. I was covering, they call it the tip-off event, I believe, but it's basically SEC Basketball Media Days. And his explanation of what was going on league-wide, his understanding of what was happening, some of the systemic issues in the sport, it was hard for me not to at least respect the wealth of knowledge where he's coming from. But, yeah, I think he obviously gets the reputation as being kind of a bit sleazy, shall we say. And I haven't mentioned Coach Cal yet. That's a name that I expect to hear in this conversation as we continue to have it. But if you're really going to put me on the spot, who is my most hated coach in all of college basketball? This one may surprise you a little bit. It's a completely stylistic thing. Tony Bennett is actually my most hated coach, and he's probably a really good guy. In fact, all my travels tell me that he is. He plays the most boring, simplistic, minimalist style of basketball that I've ever seen. And I grew up playing and loving the game. And I also grew up playing for a high school where the offense was very frequently referred to as 8 passes and a turnover. If you absolutely milk it, and somewhere Danny Broussard's about to just peg me in the head with the basketball at the tap room, I just can't stand that brand of basketball. I guess it could fit your style. It could fit your kids. And I have to respect it if you think it's a schematic advantage for you and yours. But there's a reason that Virginia gets bounced every single March. And a lot of times earlier than you might think. So stylistically, schematically, I kind of feel like Tony Bennett coaches basketball like Les Miles coach football so often. They hide their offense. They play not to lose. And I just can't stand not going for broke. I can't stand it, man. And so stylistically, it's Tony Bennett. But if I'm going with the overall person and kind of how I observe them to be, I'm not a huge Bill Self fan at Kansas either. So most hated, that's pretty strong verbiage. I don't know that I would say that I hate Tony Bennett, that I hate Bill Self, but for different reasons, I am definitely not a fan. There you go. I showed you mine. How about yours? Who do you hate? And I'm expecting there's going to be some Coach K hatred out there, not just from Clint. You can call us and let us know. 706-0111. Don't forget Hunt Palmer in about 5 or 6 minutes. We'll talk some Tiger baseball, little LSU hoops as well. The reason that Coach K is not there for me, I have too much respect for what he helped do to turn around Team USA basketball. The combination of the Colangelo family and Coach K helped to right, not a sinking ship, but a ship that was veering off course. There's never any reason, and I've told you this before on the program. I know it's March 28, might as well be July 4 when I talk like this. America is the best basketball-playing country on planet Earth. They always will be. They always should be. I get that the gap is narrowed. I understand everything that happened, beginning with the Dream Team and the 92 Olympics in Barcelona. I get it all. We live in the best basketball-playing country on planet Earth. And when we embarrassed ourselves in Athens, Greece in 2004, reform was needed. And reform we've got. Coach K, and I know he did it for self-serving purposes, at least partially, right? I know the guy went through a military academy. He's, hey, red, white, and blue through and through, and I respect him for it. But I'm sure that he knew it would help him to recruit, and it has. Guy that used to do one-and-dones, loves them now. But I appreciate his contributions to Team USA Basketball, so you're not going to get me to bite there. All right, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Brandon, enough of me. What say you?
Calipari. Can't stand him.
All right, why?
I mean, the way he acts on the sideline, kind of thinks he's better than everybody else. He cheated at Memphis and then flopped, you know, he flopped in the NBA. Just never, you know, kind of. And the times LSU's beat him, he's kind of been an ass at the end of the game. I just can't stand the dude, you know.
No, that's fair. I mean, he's had two Final Four trips vacated at different schools. And yeah, the way he acts when they come to the PMAC, I've covered those games. You're not wrong. Thank you, Brandon.
All right.
Let's get one more in before we hit a break. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Keith, weigh in for us.
I'm not going to say Coach K because I'm a Duke fan. And I think a lot of people who don't like Duke, I don't know the reasons, but you got to respect the man that he's a teacher of basketball. He teaches young men the right way, and his results in the NBA speak for itself. But off of that subject, the most overrated and coach that I really don't like, I have to agree with your analysis on Bill Self. Kansas has been a watered-down Big 12 each and every year, and he gets a pass on one of the Big 12, I don't know how many times, but when it comes down to the apples of the national stage and March Madness, choke artists, get out of there.
I'm with you, man. Bill Self is not somebody that you should – model yourself after. That's been my observation. Thank you, Keith. And if you think we're having fun here, imagine being in Tampa if you love the Strohs. Jose Altuve is in on the home run hit parade. We told you to lead the show. Strohs have gotten a Springer dinger. Michael Brantley left the yard. Jose Altuve, he hasn't been contained by the trough as well. Top of the sixth, it's now 5-1. Astros on top of the Rays. Happy, opening day to you. So excited I can't even talk when it comes to Major League Baseball. Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back, bringing Hunt Palmer with us on 103.7 The Game.
That's past St. Louis.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now back to the tap room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
Right back into the Tap Room River Ranch. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Fired up our next guest. Let's not waste any time. Out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. He is Hunt Palmer, podcasting specialist. You can listen to Hoops with Hunt, also Outside the Box, both at 104.5ESPN.com. Hunt, welcome back in. I'm sorry we pulled you away from your Cubbies beating up on the Rangers 7-2 right now, but thanks for joining us.
Javi's got two home runs. He's back in my life. Just a beautiful man. I love him.
All right. As long as I've known you, I've never really probed here, so here goes on live radio. Are you a fantasy baseball guy as well?
No. I played one time in this league with a bunch of guys I don't know, except for one radio host, and I was kicked out of that league and never really went back.
Okay, so banned from fantasy baseball, which that's actually a better story than I expected. All right, we'll go to LSU baseball next because I know that you dabble in that a good bit. We know LSU tonight going to send Zach Hess to the mound against Ethan Small, a junior lefty for Mississippi State. Obviously, the Tigers need to get off the schneid. They're playing one of the best teams in the country, one of the toughest venues in the country. How do you see tonight going down as they look to get some semblance of momentum?
Yeah, it's another tall order game one. I always say Friday night. I guess it's not Friday, but it's getting really tough order on game one. Ethan Small is awesome. He was kind of in the shadows of Connor Pilkington the last couple of years, but And Small was awesome. He came to Baton Rouge last year and threw eight innings, struck out nine, allowed, I think, one run. He's really good. He's been awesome this year. His ERA is 1.75. He's got 58 strikeouts and 36 innings. I mean, he's legit. He doesn't walk people either. So you got another legit, you know, SEC number one coming at you tonight. But Zach Hess has been up to the task 2 weeks in a row against really good frontline arms. So he's going to have to do that again in front of a really, really hostile environment and against a really good lineup. But this is the progression that he's making. And if he can go out there tonight and do it again, he'll have kind of cemented himself among the best in the SEC. And that's something that this LSU team wasn't sure they were going to have entering the season. But you'd feel a lot better about it if you did tonight. I expect a very low-scoring game tonight between two really good pitchers.
He is Hunt Palmer. He does his Twitter things, at HuntPalmer88. Have you, in your days following, covering, any capacity, just being around LSU baseball, seen something like they did in the midweek, right, when they go for 16 minutes out to right field, after the loss to McNeese? Have you seen anything like that, and do you think it'll pay dividends?
A couple of years ago, Kramer and Cole Freeman and Papirski and those guys kind of – it was mainly Kramer who came out and said, I've got to be better because we've got to be better. It was they were a really talented team, and they ended up making it all the way to the final, obviously. But they were scuffling midway through the season. They were losing midweek games, and they lost 2 out of 3 to Texas A&M, and – They weren't clicking on all cylinders at all, and Kramer was very outspoken and say, we got to get it in gear. You know, it's one thing to say it, and it's one thing to yell and scream in the outfield after a midweek game where you don't put up a fight against a lesser team. And it's another thing to go out there and play excellent baseball. And, you know, right now LSU's not playing excellent baseball. They haven't been so bad that they'll never recover. I mean, they're 4-2 in the league. Thank goodness they played Kentucky at home to start the league, who doesn't look like they're going to be very good at all. But I've seen teams, you know, kind of bow their neck a little bit and play a lot better. And Fulminary's teams generally do, but right now they're not playing very good baseball.
Offensively, I mean, is there such thing as a cure-all? Is there an easy fix to this? How do a group of guys, especially in the top five of this lineup, get back to doing what we expected they could do?
I don't have a ton of concern about those guys. I think that Watson will continue to hit. I think Cabrera will hit more. Duplantis will snap out of this little funk he's in and he'll hit. Josh Smith's just fine. I'm not worried about those guys. The thing that would transform this lineup a little bit is if Cade Beloso kind of comes along and develops into a threat in the middle of the order, and if Saul Garza can figure it out. I've kind of given up hope that second base is going to give you much offensive punch. I just don't think so. And I don't know that Chris Reed's going to give you a ton at third base either. Potentially, you could get some help from Gavin Dugas, but he's a month away probably from helping you out. So I think Beloso and Garza are the two guys who have a chance to really lengthen this lineup and make it deeper and better. I'm fine with the top four, top five. The way this offense becomes a little bit more well-rounded is some of the guys toward the bottom do it. I don't think you can count on on Hughes or Broussard to be that guy. Potentially, though, the other two could be.
All right, one more. We'll take on LSU baseball. Then we got to talk about the Tigers on the hardwood going to the Sweet 16. I know that we don't have Skip Bertman, Ron Polk. I understand that even though Maneri's there, John Cohen is not as the head coach. Does LSU Mississippi State on the diamond still have the same type of piss and vinegar rival that they always have?
Oh yeah, it'll be absolutely slammed at the dude for three nights or for three games this weekend. They don't like much about LSU. When LSU comes to town, it's always a show, and it's going to be as electric an environment as there will be in all of college baseball this year for these three games in that new stadium. With the TV, I mean, ESPNU setting up in one of the lofts in left field and calling the game from a condo. It's going to be crazy in there for this one, and that's good for this LSU team. We'll see how they respond, especially Zach Hess and then, you know, Cole Henry getting his first taste of a huge environment like Dude Neville Field. He was great in Texas, which was a good environment. He was very good in Athens, which was a good environment. This will be another level up, and we'll see how the sophomore handles it tomorrow night.
Finish it up now with Hunt Palmer. You can and should listen to his podcast on LSU basketball and baseball, 1045ESPN.com. What concerns you more about Michigan State, Hunt? Is it the guy leading the Spartans on the sideline, or is it the talent on the floor for the green and white?
That's a good question, Ben. I haven't thought about that one. We've broken down every angle of this game you can. I think probably Izzo, because I think LSU is just as good as Michigan State. In terms of talent, they're more athletic and they're deeper. I think LSU can play with Michigan State, absolutely. I worry about Izzo having a week and LSU trying to scramble with an interim coaching staff. I think that's a pretty big advantage to the Spartans, but certainly the players are the ones that are going to go out there and do it, and I trust LSU's guys.
It's been no secret, Hunt. Tony Benford even reiterated today, yes, I speak with Will Wade every day. How much do you think that Wade is able to have an effect and an impact on the way that they blueprint for this thing?
Well, I think it's pretty significant, honestly. I think that you could find some statistics that would bear that out. In the first half, we're throwing the Vanderbilt game out. Vanderbilt was terrible and they quit, so that game you ditch. But in the other three games, LSU's plus 34 in the first half and minus 31 in the second half.
Wow.
So you could lend that and say, well, they're ready to play and they know what they're doing, and then when they get in the halftime and come back out and things aren't as sharp. And I could jump to a conclusion that one staff is making adjustments and LSU's is struggling to. It's probably not quite that simple. I mean, Florida just got hot and started making shots, and I think that the same thing kind of happened for Yale, and then LSU couldn't move the score against the zone against Maryland. So it's different things every time, different ends of the floor, but that statistical breakdown would lead you to believe that maybe LSU's not quite as sharp adjusting in game and maybe a little more prepared to play. And it sounds like from hearing the interviews that they're fine with saying, yeah, Will Wade's still helping a little bit.
LSU wins two more games this weekend, and we get a Yahoo Sports report a week from today, right?
So you better believe it. I would imagine right there on the Friday before the Final Four. They probably do it in the morning, don't want to do a news dump, but yeah, it's pretty impressive what they're doing over there. It's so transparent. Everybody knows exactly what they're doing, but you're in a clicks world, and you're going to get some clicks if you do that. So fire away, Yahoo, whatever you got.
He's Hunt Palmer, and he just kind of gets it. That's why we bring him on Thursdays, spring and early summer. Hunt, thanks again. Go back to your Cubbies.
All right, thanks, man.
And he's absolutely right. By the way, I have watched, I have rewatched, I have statistically I've immersed myself in the last three LSU basketball games. And I don't think that numerically I put two and two together quite the way that Hunt just did. I'm going to reiterate what he said there because it caught me in the moment. LSU, take the Vandy game out. Go Florida in the SEC tourney and the two big dance games so far. Yale, Maryland, LSU plus 34 in the first half, minus 31 in the second half. It's a great point. And maybe it does underscore the fact that Wade is having influence still. But then what happens once you get hit in the mouth? What can you do? Adjustments midway, adjustments midstream in the second half. It's a great, great point by Hunt Palmer. All right, we're going to take our final break of hour number one, hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch, and you better believe that they have released their spring cocktail menu. The Always Summer in Baja, it's here. The LA Tap Smash, Maui's Coconuts, Berries and Bubbles, and the Thicket Old Fashioned. I had it last week when I was here. If you dig an old fashioned, you're going to like this one. You got to trust me on that. We're coming right back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, 11 minutes until 5 o'clock. We are back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, having a great time as we're live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open. We will have Jeff Horchek. Excited to bring him back from KLFY. He'll be with us at straight up 5 o'clock. You want to join us between now and then, be our guest. 706-0111. A lot of LSU hoops, NCAA hoops talk so far, but this is opening day for Major League Baseball. I saw a Twitter question from our station earlier today. Credit to RP3 for asking it. Let me answer it. Should MLB opening day be a national holiday? The answer is not yes, no, sink, or swim. It is your damn straight. I love opening day. And right now it's treating the Houston Astros quite fine. Thank you very much. Top of the seventh right now in Tampa. Astros over the Rays 5-1. Astros have already ousted reigning AL Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell. How about this? Astros collected all five earned runs on just six hits. It's because they've gone yard thrice. Altuve, Springer, and the new guy, Michael Brantley. Justin Vincent, I'm sorry, wrong JV. Listen to me. I literally had JV written down on my page, CD. Initials everywhere. Justin Verlander, six innings, seven strikeouts. He's given up the one earned run on only two hits. So the Astros still doing their thing. We do have three games that have gone final already. The Yankees beat the Orioles 7-2. Those will be one of the worst in baseball all year. Get used to it. In a matchup of aces, Jacob DeGrom and the Mets won in the nation's capital against the Washington Nationals 2-0. DeGrom with 10 Ks beat Max Scherzer. And something that's weird to say, the winning runs were provided by New York Met Robinson Cano. Yes, that was very weird to say it. Hopefully it wasn't as weird for you to hear it. But we've already had our best finish of the early season so far. And I know we're less than, what, a half a day in to the 162-game slate. The Brewers won at home over the Cardinals 5-4, but here's how they did it. Lorenzo Cain robbed my guy, Jose Martinez, of a homer for the final out. You heard me right. Ken Griffey style, jumping up, taking it away, and that was the final out that the Brewers needed. Defending NL Central champs get off to a good start, beating St. Louis 5-4. One other Major League Baseball note I can share at this point. It involves a Nouveau Riche team, right? It involves some new money, and it involves an LSU alum. Aaron Nola finished, I believe, third last year in the NL Cy Young race so far. Bottom of the seventh. Let's see, Nola's day is done. Here's how he ended it. It's a little bit like Verlander's line. Six innings, one earned run, only two hits, and eight strikeouts. So Aaron Nola off to a very strong start. And the Phillies all over Atlanta, 10-3. A home run from the new guy, Andrew McCutchen. Rhys Hoskins is going yard. But the biggest acquisition in terms of star power and money, Bryce Harper 0-3 with 2 Ks. CD, we'll bring you in here. And again, we'll take some phone calls. 706-0111. Your takeaways from day one. Major League Baseball, in particular the Astros. I know you got to be just tickled pink over there.
Oh, I'm absolutely loving it. Third straight season, George Springer hits an opening day home run. Honestly, I expected it from the leadoff spot. But I have to say, Michael Brantley paying off dividends early on as well with that home run. So I like what I'm seeing from the Astros at this point in opening day. And you do it up against the, like you said, the Cy Young Award winner. Trust me, if you talk to Houston, they're putting an asterisk on that one because I think Justin Verlander definitely deserves it, and I definitely think this is showing why he deserved it.
JV got paid, and he's leading a rotation that features Gerrit Cole. And as I told you yesterday, a lot of prognosticators have Gerrit Cole as your AL Cy Young favorite. They like that spin rate, baby. And Gerrit Cole tomorrow going to take on a former Houston Astro in Charlie Morton down in Tampa. But so far, so good for the Houston Astros. Again, because we're airing LSU baseball today, tomorrow, we're going to have LSU basketball. We're going to have a lot going on with the Tigers on 103.7 The Game. So just go ahead and bookmark it. Store it into your vehicle as one of your favorites. If you want to listen to the Houston Astros and you're listening to this station and it's not happening, but you know they're playing, they're always going to be on our sister station. That's the Rewind. It's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM here in Lafayette. If you drive a little too far west or you got friends at Lake Chuck, they can hear it as well on 104.1 Again, that's in the Lake Charles, Oak Grove area. But Astros baseball, Major League Baseball, here to stay, not going anywhere for quite some time. You want to weigh in? We still got a little time before Jeff Horchek hops aboard at straight up 5 o'clock. The number is 706-0111. I'll do this while I've got some time carved out here to end the 4 o'clock hour. Clint, I'll predict the games tonight because I laid out the West bracket. They'll play two tonight in the South bracket. They've got two as well. Let's start with the West bracket. Games being played in Anaheim. The first one that'll tip off about 70 minutes from now, roughly. Number one, Gonzaga. Number four, Florida State. I love Florida State to cover the spread, but I do think I'm going to pick Gonzaga to win the ball game. I doubted them coming into the tournament. The loss to St. Mary's, albeit a pretty good team, not great form, finishing their conference tourney. But Mark Few and Gonzaga, if they're going to meet their maker, I don't think it happens in this round. So sorry to Leonard Hamilton and the Noles. I got Gonzaga to win a close one in Anaheim, a game that's obviously a lot closer to home for them than FSU. Michigan, Texas Tech. My bracket forces me to pick the Red Raiders, so I will. But I got to tell you, I kind of feel like I'm drawing dead on that pick. You know, once you've already put your neck out on the chopping block, if you're man enough, you don't take it back off. I picked Texas Tech to advance in the West bracket, so I'm not going to go turncoat on you. I'll stick with Chris Beard and the Red Raiders. They got one of the best players in the tournament. There's no question. But I feel like I'm drawing dead a little bit. Michigan is so good this time of year. Just watching them defensively put the clamps on Florida, it shows me that they're locked in and engaged. So uphill battle, but I'll take Texas Tech. They're 1.5-point dogs. I'll take them outright off GP. General principle alone. All right, let's go to the South bracket. Two games tonight played in Louisville, Kentucky. Number two, Tennessee. Number three, Purdue. I will go full out turncoat on you here. I picked Tennessee to go all the way to the final. But if the evidence is that compelling, then I can change my mind, right? I'm allowed to. Plus, we asked earlier, who's your most hated coach in college basketball? Our guy Zach Sprayberry on Twitter says it's Rick Barnes. So here's a tribute to you, Zach. I'm going to take Purdue to win this ball game. Again, I've taken notice of what they did to Villanova, so I will change my bracket pick there. And I got Virginia to beat Oregon, and they may even find a way to cover the 8.5, but boy, is that a lot for a run-and-hide type coach like Tony Bennett. There are my picks. Here is my one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Rolling. In LSU baseball, all they need to do, I know it sounds like a lot right now, mired in a 3-game losing streak, all they need to do is get the snowball rolling downhill. Then it's got a chance to avalanche. Tigers have been woeful on the road this year, but if Zach Hess gets them going, if he does what he did in Athens at the Dude in Starkville, and they win game one, they will take 2 out of 3. I do believe that either Cole Henry or Eric Walker can scratch across another W, so you just got to get the ball rolling. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We got 30 minutes to go. Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by. Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one. We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back at the Tap Room River Ranch on 1037 The Game. Ben Love here at the Tap Room. The famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. And yes, we've got an Express Lane edition of our 5 o'clock hour. That's why when we bring aboard our next guest for the first time so far this spring, he's on the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Still thrilled to bring back in Jeff Horchek. Pospot 2, let me back that up, the award-winning Pospot 2 on KLFY TV 10. How are you, Jeff?
Good, Ben. How are you doing on this Thursday?
Life is good. Rhythms of the River is back. I have to do a show that's half the amount of time in length than normal, so I will not complain. What are your feelings on the Sweet 16 and what we've got ahead of us? Four games tonight, four more tomorrow.
Yeah, it should be pretty fun. It gets really interesting when you get down to the Sweet 16 here, if you start getting to the nitty-gritty of, hey, man, who are the few teams that have a legit shot to get to the Final Four, maybe play for all the marbles? Boy, Duke got quite a scare in the second round against Central Florida. I watched that game, and that was something to see how they pulled that out. Zion Williamson had a monster game and proved why he's arguably the best player in the country. But LSU, you know, still alive. They're in the Sweet 16 despite all the controversy they've had off the court. They've found ways to win. What a way to win against Maryland, a clutch shot late by their point guard. Okay, this time of year, you got to have a good point guard if you're going to make a run, and LSU does. So should be fun. I'm interested to see the games tonight and tomorrow. I'm curious to see how LSU plays against Michigan State. It seems like people are really rallying around this team now. You know, they just seem like they've got that chip on their shoulder, and it's been fun to watch. I think Duke's still obviously the team to beat, you know, even though they had a scare against Central Florida. But there's always a couple other teams out there that will show up and get hot late, and we'll see if who advances tonight and tomorrow.
Jeff Horchek, KLFY TV 10, our guest on 103.7 The Game. All right, Jeff, I want to bounce around a little bit here. You grew up in West Virginia. Where does that put you in terms of Major League Baseball alliance? And I know you got it, but who is it to?
Yeah, well, I was a Pirates fan when we lived in West Virginia because we only lived about 2 hours south of Pittsburgh, so that was the local Major League Baseball team. Of course, they went through some good years in the 90s, and then once Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla moved out, and they went on a slump and years of no postseason play, and then a few years ago they finally made the postseason again. So the Pirates are the team to root for. My dad's from Detroit originally, so I also was kind of a Tigers fan as well. Now I obviously follow the Astros because they're the local team, and I interned with the New Orleans Zephyrs when I was in college when the Zephyrs were the AAA affiliate for the Stros, and got to see Lance Berkman come through the AAA ranks before he became a Major League All-Star. So I kind of follow, I guess, the Pirates, the Tigers, and the Astros, but during my West Virginia days, definitely a Pittsburgh fan.
Give me a little bit more about the Zephyrs. We know since then everything really has changed, at least as far as the branding, right? It's the baby cakes, the shrine on airline, mm-hmm. all those things. But what else do you remember other than Lance Berkman from those days in New Orleans?
Well, you know, they're going to be moving the franchise, obviously. So they're not going to have a minor league baseball team in New Orleans, which has been a big topic of discussion this last year. But I remember back then, you know, they got great crowds at Zephyr Field. Of course, when they moved to New Orleans, they moved from Denver. It was the Denver Zephyrs, and then they became the New Orleans Zephyrs. And then, of course, they were playing at UNO before they built Zephyr Field. And then once they got Zephyr Field, the Shrine on Airline, then they really had their own home. And they got great crowds out there. It was a great venue. You know, you got to see a lot of potential big league talent come through, especially with that year they won the AAA World Series. That was when Berkman was on that team, and they had a number of big leaguers that went up to the Astros and got some quality playing time. They had great crowds, but it just seems like over time the crowds started to wane. They had change in ownership, and it was hard to. And then once the Pelicans moved or the Hornets moved to New Orleans, then you had another big time pro team in town. There's only so much money to go around when it comes to sports teams in a market like New Orleans. And it seems like after the NBA moved in, it changed the dynamic for the Zephyrs as far as their fan base and all the ownership changes they had.
All right, you and I usually talk Saints, and so we got to ask Jeff Horchek, KLFY TV 10, about the move this week. And it was kind of rumored last week, right? But now it's done. And they have their tight end of the near future. I'm excited about what Jared Cook could bring for Drew Brees. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I am too. It seemed like that was the guy they had targeted, and I remember a few weeks back they said they were going to bring him in for an interview and a workout. And then you didn't hear anything for a while, and I said, I wondered, man, what happened? Is it going to happen, or is he going to look at somewhere else? And then finally we heard this week they had signed him. So I think that's a good move. I mean, there's no question that giving a 40-year-old quarterback a tight end that can stretch the field and give you a big target over the middle is going to help, and also it's going to take a lot of heat off of Michael Thomas, keep the double team off to him, because he obviously has emerged as one of the elite receivers in the game now. So I think it's good. You know, you look at some of the highlights of Cook, and he is really an athletic, long-rangey guy. I mean, he's a freak at the talent position. So it'll be interesting to see how they utilize him, and I think he will definitely help that offense and give Drew another target. And you look at I believe he signed a 2-year deal. So this is just for a few years, and they're looking to stock up and try to make another run this year. You're not looking at the future; you're looking at now, and he's a guy that can help you now.
Is there a scenario for you, Jeff, in which you could see Breeze playing beyond this next season for the Saints?
It's possible. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with his health. And Drew just strikes me as the type of guy that when he's done, he's going to know it, and he's going to let everybody know. He's not going to limp out. At least that's not what he wants to do. Every year he comes back, you keep saying, okay, one more year, maybe two more years, and I think the same is being said this year. So we'll see. I think a lot depends on what they do this year. You know, if they win a Super Bowl this year, then he probably sails into the sunset as a champ and retires. If they don't, maybe he comes back. I don't know. You'd have to get into his head and actually ask him, and no one's been able to do that. He's such a competitive guy, and they've tried to build a team around him and give him the weapons he needs at his age to be able to still be efficient. And so I guess we just have to take it season by season. I know that once he does leave, whenever that may be, it's never going to be quite the same. You know, it's just hard to find great quarterbacks, so that's why they're trying to stretch it out as long as they can, as long as he can play at a certain high level. Why make a move until he's ready or something freak happens? So we'll see. I'd love to see him win one more Super Bowl, and then he can ride into the sunset as a champ. We'll see.
All right, Jeff, before we let you go, Rhythms on the River kicks off, and it's the spring edition tonight. What's your experience been like with that event as you've moved here to the Hub City and made this place home?
I haven't been in quite a while, but when I went a few years back, I had a great time. I am considering, seriously, Trooper and I, making a trip down there tonight. It's the first one of the year. Weather's beautiful. I'm going to make a concerted effort to get down there. But I've been before. Yeah, it's a great event. It's one of the many great free events that Lafayette puts on. And, it's just a great environment. I think Bag of Donuts is playing tonight. They are always a hit in Lafayette. They're always playing here for different events. So, should be a good night out there tonight, and probably a good crowd as well, because it's the first one of the year and the weather is phenomenal.
It is. And by the way, you're right on. It is Bag of Donuts tonight. So I'll be out here with my wife, Jen. Hopefully we'll see you and Trooper. We'll have a large time if that's the case. Thank you for doing this, Jeff. We'll see you next Thursday right back here in the flesh, brother.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Ben.
He's Jeff Horchek, one of the hosts of a statewide award-winning program, PASPA 2, mornings on KLFY TV 10. Jeff also does a midday shift there, so we're thankful that he punches in Thursday afternoons with us. Today, it made a little more sense for him to come on via the phone. Made sense for him and for us on the show, because don't forget, we've got LSU baseball coming at you. 6 p.m., first pitch. I know, they're a day earlier than usual. They're an hour earlier than usual. Just got to make sure you're on your P's and your Q's. 6 o'clock first pitch from the dude in Starkville. It'll be Zach Hess versus Ethan Small. And Jeff Palermo, Doug Thompson, will get you ready for all the action here in about 18 minutes. The pregame show begins. One other note we can give you about baseball that Delta Media brings your way. Top of the eighth, the Astros still all over the Rays. Score there is 5-1. And how about this? The day not yet done for Justin Verlander. He's made it through 7 innings. JV, 9 strikeouts. He's given up only 3 hits and the 1 earned run. The Astros got to AL reigning Cy Young champ Blake Snell of the Rays. Not once, not twice, 3 times for bombs. And that's why they're up 5-1 right now. You can listen to that one on our sister station, The Rewind. That's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Charles. All right, we're going to take our final break of the program. When we return, time to take your phone calls. Throw a little bit of shade and some final for the West and South regions. Being played tonight in Anaheim and Louisville. Big dance action, baby. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back out to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
going back to our regular show. All right.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
You never know what'll come out of the mouth of Sean Payton. And yeah, it's late March, and we're still talking about the Saints head coach, not because of the moves that he and the front office are making, but, well, we'll explain here shortly. The guy just gives us pearls. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Heck, let's not waste any time. We'll get right into it. Time that I issue your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, and the standing seam metal awnings. Know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust the management. Top down, it starts with Mark to help you to create a vision and then fulfill it. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your game in 2019. All it takes to start, trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
It all started with Steve Wyche on the NFL Network. CD, I'll let you set it up and then take it down, but God bless Sean Payton.
Oh, dude, God bless Sean Payton. Every single time it feels like we can't love the guy anymore. He goes out and does this. According to Steve Wyche of the NFL Network, as you pointed out earlier, Ben, he absolutely crushed some of the stuff going on in the NFL concerning a lot of teams that are hell-bent on hiring some offensive-minded coaches. And he put it simply, Ben, a lot have teams that are making mistakes and that the Saints really look forward to playing those teams. That is just classic Sean Payton, to say the least, wanting to just basically play all these teams that have made a whole lot of mistakes. Who knows who he's alluding to? He could very well be alluding to a lot of different franchises, up to and maybe including the Arizona Cardinals. So he's looking forward to playing those teams. It's just Sean Payton being Sean Payton, and how appropriate, Ben, this has to happen on a most important day for many Saints fans, 28-3 day.
I'm going to have to claim ignorant there. What in the actual bleep is 23 day?
28-3 day, Ben? It is a special
Okay. 28 yes. to 3 day. Okay. You are reaching a little bit there, my friend. It is March 28th, which would make it 3-28. And now I understand it. It's 28 to 3 day. So here I am, the slow one, and I'll own that. And so we started off throwing shade at Sean Payton. We'll end it by throwing some at me. Usually numbers are my thing, but you got one past me. Congrats on MLB opening day.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Either my ears are truly failing me or you mumbled your way through that one, because I swear what I heard was 23 day. And again, unless you live in the city of Chicago and you are a fan of the Bulls, I didn't have the foggiest clue what 23 day was, amigo.
Yeah, 23 day. It might have just like gotten crossed between the wires between from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing all the way to the Tap Room. Might have been a little wires crossed on that one.
It's possible, and maybe I'm just in a mental space where I'm ready for Rhythms on the River, and so I've already, you know, gotten myself fast-forwarded a little bit. I'm excited. Bag of donuts tonight, leading things off. The even better news, you come here, take a roadie to go, enjoy that, but you can return here. Just because Bag of Donuts is done at 8, about 8:15 tonight, and usually that's about right, you come here, Carl Sonnier will already be laying it down. Live music every Thursday, 8 to 11 p.m. from the Tap Room. And I'm excited about this because, obviously, I'm familiar with Carl Sonnier, but I'm told this will be his first time out here to the Tap Room. And so he'll get to experience that. And, yes, this place, circa about 8:45, 9 p.m., becomes an absolute madhouse. It's a lot of fun. But I'll say this. How about this as some follow-up, Clint? Oftentimes, I'm asked to provide follow-up on sink or swim questions or this, that, or the other. Whatever happened to this? So in answering the question, whatever happened to a man attending ladies' night with his wife, I can report back that it was a hell of a lot of fun. This place was just slam-packed on a Wednesday night. And yes, part of it was ladies' night. They got a runner's club that comes out of here. But yeah, I got to spend my last day before MLB opening day here at the tap room. And it was a lot of fun. So I'll just throw that out there. Imagine if you're not married and you could come to ladies' night. You should consider that. Wednesdays here at the tap room. All right, Clint, got about 3.5-4 minutes left today. Let's spend it looking forward to the West and South regions tonight. I made my picks at the end of hour number one. Give me Gonzaga and Texas Tech to advance, although my confidence level in the Red Raiders isn't great. Michigan's a hell of a team, and defensively, they might be as good as anyone left in the Big Dance. In the South bracket, give me Virginia and Purdue. I'm not thrilled to pick Purdue there. I had Tennessee advancing going quite some way, but Purdue right now, they've shown me something. So those are my four to win tonight. How do you see it?
Well, I'll say this. I definitely don't see Purdue advancing to the Elite Eight. To say that's definitely at the top of the list there, Ben. I just can't see it. I like Michigan a little bit too much. That team is just phenomenal. The way they've been performing all season long. I mentioned it on Monday. They are probably one of the best defensive teams left in the tournament, probably one of the best defensive teams in the country, period. So give me Michigan getting the win. And then we got to look over at one of the other matchups coming up later tonight. Now I'm trying to remember some of them. This is a struggle right now, Ben.
And you're the one with the internet. All right, Mike, cut off. You're done for the rest of the show. Your contribution is appreciated. You've given me 23 day, and you can't remember the other two games that are being played tonight. So we will see you tomorrow at 4 p.m., sir. Into the corner. But right now we have a few minutes left. And look. The unfortunate news that comes out from the Yahoo Sports Report should be expected at this point. I shared earlier with you, just make sure that you're making an important distinction, because I continue to get asked this question. It's not the FBI that's releasing information to Pat Forte and Yahoo Sports. It's the agent of Christian Dawkins. Just don't doubt that part, all right? The whole point of bringing Will Wade, Sean Miller, on the stand for this federal corruption trial, April 22nd and beyond, the whole point is for Dawkins' attorney to make his client look a little less bad by making Wade, LSU, Miller, Arizona look all the more bad themselves, right? And so as scummy as he can make Wade and LSU look, he's going to do that. And so he's leaking this information. And to be fair, I know that nobody in South Louisiana wants to hear this, but if you're in a position as a national journalist to get this kind of scoop, you can verify it. I think you do it no matter what the program is. That's the way I look at it. If I were in Pat Forte's shoes and that was dumped on me and it's Nick Saban in Alabama, we're rolling with it. If it's Will Wade at LSU, we're rolling with it. They're not picking on LSU. LSU's coach was arrogant and dumb enough to do what he did, the way that he did. And if you think I'm wrong, let me give you this example. Auburn, a couple of weeks ago, had to boot an assistant coach off the team because of his involvement for something that happened at a prior stop years ago. If, and again, this is a complete hypothetical, but if, hypothetically, Wade had delegated this handler middleman duty like everybody else in the free world does, if he had delegated this to, say, Tony Benford, and Benford's name had been out with all this on the wiretap, and Benford's hands were in the mud, well, then, like the Auburn assistant, he would be let go, and Wade would be coaching this team right now. So I'm telling you, Wade's sloppiness, his arrogance, put him in the spot where, yeah, now he's cooperating with the feds, and he can't talk to LSU. So I get why everybody's at an impasse, but just understand some of the mechanics behind what happened today and what continues to happen. These releases aren't an accident. They're very well timed. And, yes, Yahoo is the puppet. Pat Forte is the puppet. There's no question. Christian Dawkins' attorney is pulling the strings, and he's making them dance. But the good news is this. For at least one more game, LSU is still in the Big Dance. They've got a chance to knock off a very talented Michigan State team. We'll be pointed downhill at that all show long tomorrow. We're wrapping up today at the Tap Room River.
Looks like we lost Ben Love there from him, but I was going to wrap it up here on 103.7 The Game with Bumper to Bumper Sports. Thanks to Hunt Palmer, Jeff Horchak of KLFY News 10, and also the award-winning PASPA 2 phenomenal morning show. So, yeah, we're out of here. LSU baseball up against Mississippi State next. It's all right here on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. A Friday edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Wrapping up the week. I believe we've got James Moran on tap. Outside of that, who knows what else we got on a Friday edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. That'll be cut off as well till 5:30 because of LSU Michigan State going at it in the Sweet 16. Like I said, LSU Mississippi State next. I'm not going to let you wait any longer. Let's get to it.
Debut for Bryce Harper, 0-3 with two strikeouts, but his teammates picked him up as the Phillies went on to beat the Braves 10-4 on opening day. Elsewhere, Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer.